Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. In chapter 9 of his letter to the Romans, Paul takes a departure from speaking on God's grace and our salvation, and turns his attention to the people of Israel. The Apostle Paul was born a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, so it would stand to reason that he would have great concern over his people and their salvation. This week we begin a two-part sub-series to our Theology for Ministry series called The Place of Israel, and we will look at how the Jews receive God's grace even today. So grab your Bible, turn it to Romans chapter 9, and join us as we look at the place of Israel. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Romans chapter 9. We are still in the midst of a Theology for Ministry series. And today what we're going to begin to look at in two parts is the salvation of the Jews. The salvation of the Jews. Paul takes a departure in his letter. The first eight chapters of this letter have really dealt with our sin and our salvation. And now for the next three chapters, he turns almost to a lament for his people, the Jews. But we find in these three chapters, chapter 9 through 11, an answer to the question, what about the Jews? What about God's people, God's chosen people? Well, we're going to find that out today. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it was in 1991 that my daughter was baptized at Pittman United Methodist Church. At that time, there was a pastor there. His name was Bill Reisner. I had known Bill Reisner as my pastor for 14 years. He had been there since 1977. That's quite a long time for a Methodist pastor to be in one church. His wife, Judy, knew me. She knew me through the youth program. I never really spoke much to Judy. I didn't talk to her hardly at all. And she saw this baptism. Me in my army uniform, my wife up there in some dress that she had picked out, and my daughter in her baptismal gown. And something spoke to Judy's heart, that she should begin to pray for me. Pray for me to return to God. You see, at that time, even though I was standing in the church at Pittman, even though I was having my daughter baptized, I didn't believe in God. I felt like baptism was just a family thing that we had to do, an obligation that we had to fulfill for our families. It was just something to do. But my heart wasn't in it. I stood up there and I said the vows, and I didn't really mean them. And there was really no part of me that felt bad about it either. But Judy saw something in me, and she began to pray for me. Now, I never spoke to her that day. I never saw her again for another 20 years. But for 20 years, Judy Reisner, every time she would remember me, would include me in her prayers and pray for me. She didn't know why. She said she just felt like it was something that the Spirit was leading her to do. And so she prayed and she prayed and she prayed for 20 years. Now, in those 20 years, I can point to very specific times when God was acting to bring me back to Him. And it was not very long after the baptism of my daughter that I started to believe again in God, and then to have a relationship with Him, and then to believe that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins, and then finally to give my whole life, my whole heart to God for the things He had done for me. And Judy didn't know that all these things were happening, but she kept praying, she kept praying, and she kept praying for 20 years. 2009, she met up with our associate pastor, Peter Jameson, at Pittman. And Peter said to her, "You got to meet this guy. He's a really fantastic guy. And you might have known him before. He was at Pittman as a kid. His name is Brett Walker." And she said, "Brett Walker. I've been praying for Brett Walker for 20 years. She didn't know anything about me, anything that I've been doing, but it was on her heart to pray for me. And she didn't even know why. Well, in the text today, like I said, Paul takes a turn from where he's been, from where he was headed. He's been talking about salvation. He's been talking about the eternal promise of God's grace. And the last thing that we read right before this is how nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's grace. And then he launches into this: "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart." He's pleading. He's pleading. And he begins by saying, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying." Why did he say that? Because the Jews at this time looked at Paul as if he were a traitor. A traitor to his own race. You see, being Jewish isn't just a matter of faith. It's a matter of birth. Paul was born into the tribe of Benjamin, we learn in the book of Philippians. He was a Benjamite. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. And yet, now he was following this way, the way of the Messiah, the way of the Christ. And his own people looked at him and thought of him as a traitor. A traitor to his own faith, a traitor to his own race. At worst, a blasphemer and a follower of false gods. That's what the Jews thought of Paul at this time. And so now, to answer his critics, that he has turned away from his people, he begins this section of the letter by saying, "I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people." He said, "I would rather be damned to hell than to see my people in that fate. I would take on all their sins if I could." Of course, there was only one who could take on the sins of all the world, and that was Jesus Christ. But Paul says, "I would do the same. I would suffer for my people if it would make any difference." That's how much he wants his people to be saved. Exodus 32:32, Moses had a very similar exhortation. He said to God, after his people had made the golden calf, and God said to Moses, I'm going to wipe everybody out and start all over with you. So Moses would then be the patriarch. But Moses said, if you will only forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of the book of life that you have written. He said, I'll take their sin. Blot me out of the book that you have written. Don't destroy your people for their transgression. And Paul has this similar sentiment. And he speaks of six things that the Jews are promised of God. He says in verse 4, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. I want to look at each one of those briefly. The adoption. God took on the Jews as His own people. He told Moses that they were not chosen because they were the most numerous. They were not chosen because they were the greatest. They were a small tribe. They were one family. When God made His covenant with Abraham, it was just Abraham and Sarah, two older people. Abraham was 87 when God came to him. They didn't have any children. And yet God said, from you, all families of the world will be blessed. And in fact, we have. Because from Abraham came Isaac, and from Isaac came Jacob, and from Jacob came the 12 tribes, including Judah. And from Judah came David. And from David came the Christ. The Messiah came through the Jews. Jesus said to the woman at the well, salvation is from the Jews. He was born into that family. But the Jews were adopted into the family of God. By God's choice. God says He chooses who He will choose. Not because they are the greatest. Not because they are the most numerous. But because He knows they will have a heart for Him. The adoption and the glory. He says that to Jews belongs the glory of God. The Shekinah glory which existed in their temple, and before the temple was in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory, the glory of God. Ezekiel writes of when the Shekinah glory left the temple, and it's one of the saddest passages in all the Bible. But at the end of Ezekiel's book, he writes of the return of that glory. When God says that He will draw all His people back from wherever they have been dispersed. He says, to them belongs the covenant, the covenants. God made His covenants with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and with Moses. We have the covenant of Moses. The Ten Commandments and the entire book of Leviticus is one long covenant. And then God makes this covenant in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, if you will follow me, you will be blessed beyond your wildest imagining. But if you turn away from me, I will curse your land. You won't be able to grow anything there. People will come in and invade your land and take it from you. But all you have to do is turn back to me. He said, when the temple had been built and dedicated, He said, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All we have to do is turn back. That's the covenant that he made with his people. To them belong the giving of the law. The law was handed down to Moses for his people. And his people were to keep that law. Why? Because the Hebrew race had to remain pure in order for the Messiah to come through them. The Messiah couldn't come through a Gentile family. It had to come through the Jews. And so he says, the giving of the law, the worship, the service of God. At that time, there were very strict rules for how to worship God. The Jews had a calling. The Levites were the priests who were over the worship in the temple and in the tabernacle. And carrying the tabernacle from place to place was the responsibility of the Levites. All this, the worship and the service of God belonged to the Jews. And finally, to them belongs the Messiah. The promises. God made many promises to the Jews. He promised to bless them in so many ways because he loved them. It was his grace. They were experiencing his grace all the time, the same way that we experience his grace today. In Ezekiel, God pleads with his people and says, "Why? Why will you die? Repent and live. Turn back to me and live." He pleads with his people because he loves his people. And then in verse 5 he says, "To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen." He says the patriarchs were the beginning of this family of Jews. The Jews are not just friends of Paul. They're not just compatriots or even brothers and sisters in faith, but they are family. Family. They all come from the same family. The family of Abraham. They are all descended from Abraham. They are all descended from Isaac. They are all descended from Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And that's why they have the nation of Israel. The 12 tribes came from the 12 sons of Jacob. So they were all family, related in every single way. And from that family came the Messiah. The Messiah that was promised for so long. Salvation is from the Jews, Jesus said to the woman at the well. I think about Judy Reisner a lot, about how she prayed for me, about how she had no idea where I was, what I was doing, and yet she prayed for me. In last week's reading, we saw that we don't know how to pray for what we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us in groanings too deep for understanding. The Holy Spirit, once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, he begins to intercede for us and in us and to instruct us on how and for whom to pray. There's many people in my heart that I pray for daily, weekly, whenever I remember them, that I say, "Lord, draw them to you. Speak to their hearts. Reveal yourself to them. That they may know you, that they may love you the way that I do. Even better than I do, more than I do." That's my cry for the people that I love, friends and family who don't know Christ. Is there anyone upon your heart that you want to see saved? Do we have, as it says in the King James, do we have great heaviness and continual sorrow for those people? Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said, "To be insensible to the eternal condition of our fellow creatures is contrary to both to the love required by the law and the mercy of the gospel." To be insensible to the eternal condition of our fellow creatures. Or Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from England, said it this way: "Get love for the souls of men, then you will not be whining about a dead dog or a sick cat or about the conceits of a family and the little disturbances that John and Mary may make by their idle talk. You will be delivered from petty worries. I need not further describe them if you are concerned about the souls of men. When certain persons come to me with their sentimental sorrows, I wish the Lord would fill them with the love of souls and make their hearts break with anxiety for their conversion. Then would their griefs be of a nobler sort. You would no longer weep over a molehill if you begin to move mountains. Get your soul full of great grief and your little griefs will be driven out." It is a great grief that we have for those who are not here with us today. And it's not about just coming to church. It's not just about being here or being part of a community. It's about having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The salvation that God offers each and every one of us. Why are we here in church today? We are here because someone had a great heaviness and continual sorrow in their hearts for our salvation. Whether it was a parent or a relative or a friend, or even someone we barely know, we are here because someone brought us here. So the question is, who is on your heart? Who will you bring to know Christ, to partake in His saving grace? Today we celebrate communion. And communion is a time when we confess our sins to God and to each other, but we are partaking of a meal together with our Lord and Savior. We do this in remembrance of Him. And in remembrance of Him, let us remember His final commandment. He said, "Go into all the world. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." There are people in our hearts that need to be saved. Let's pray for them and let us speak to them and bring them to Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, You speak to our hearts through Your Holy Spirit. You speak to us through Your holy word. And in the words of Paul, Lord, we find a longing, a yearning for souls to be saved. Let that be the cry of our hearts today. Let us who come together in bonds of love reach out to a community and to a world that so desperately needs Your love and Your grace. Give us hearts that grieve for souls, and give us the desire to reach out in love. All these things we pray in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.